Open your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the 13th chapter. John chapter 13. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1135. Beginning with verse 31, we'll read through verse 35. We'll read the verses responsively. Verses 31 through 35. May we stand, please, as is our custom here at First Baptist Church, to stand during the reading of the Word of God. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto you, the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Let's read together on the text verse, the 35th verse. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Let's pray. And Father, we continue to be amazed at the wealth of things in thy word, and how we may read it over and over and over again, and yet it's ever fresh, it's ever new. Thank you for that. Thank you for a church where your word is honored, where we believe that we have thy word, that it's been preserved for us. We pray that you'd help us to take advantage of this hour. We'll never have another hour quite like this one. The preaching, the teaching of your word is so important. We pray that you give us the power of thy spirit to hear and to listen as we should. And of course, bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm going to speak on the subject, how to love. I, John, take thee, Mary, to my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, richer or poorer, sickness and health, to love and cherish. The honest truth is, very few people who make those vows really love each other. Now, don't understand me. You're the exception. But very few people, because most people are so wrapped up in attraction at that age, it's hard to love. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning how you can obey or fulfill the promise that you made at the altar. You said to love. Now that means you've got to learn to love. And I want to teach you this morning in one of the simplest messages and one of the most logical messages you ever heard in your life to start the new year. I almost call the title of this message "The Greatest of These is Love." But where could we start better than at the greatest point for the new year? There's very little love in the world. For example, I don't love him anymore. Foolishness, hogwash, impossible. Love never faileth. Real love never faileth. Now, most of us have never learned to love. There are two words in the Greek. There are more than two, but two I want to call your attention this morning. I'm glad you're listening. There are two words in the Greek that mean love. There are more than two that mean love. But the most familiar ones
or the words agape, which is the kind of love we're supposed to have that most of us don't have, and the word phileo, which is a love that I love you because you're pretty, I love you because you're sweet, I love you because you're kind, I love you because what you can do for me, and that's what most of us have for each other. The word phileo is an attraction. I'm attracted to you. The word agape means I deeply, unselfishly, totally, without reciprocation necessary, I love you. Now this morning, I'm going to teach you. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to teach you how to love. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help me today as I speak on this first Sunday morning of a new year. We come to that first thing in the Bible, the first Sunday. We come to the first thing, that's love. Help me to do it justice, and may the people listen. May we learn to love today. In Jesus' name, amen. Sit up straight, listen carefully, and let me help you. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6. I'm sorry, yes, 5 and 6, and then 6 other times in the Bible. You'll find that the greatest commandment is to love one another. And the second greatest, love God, second greatest commandment is to love one another. That means it's the greatest commandment of all in the Bible. Now, hey, one commandment says thou shalt not kill. A greater commandment is love. One commandment says thou shalt not steal. A greater commandment is love. One commandment says thou shalt not commit adultery. A greater commandment is love. The greatest of all the commandments is love. So it certainly deserves our attention this morning. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, the Bible says that love, now about faith, hope, and charity, or love, those are synonyms, and the greatest of these is love. So love is the greatest. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says that love is a debt we owe to each other. I owe to you a debt, and my debt is to love you. Now, I'm talking about real love. I'm not talking about attraction. I'm talking about real, honest to goodness, unselfish, no need for reciprocation, love. Now, I owe you a debt, and by the way, you owe me the same debt, and you owe each other the same debt also. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, it says that love is more important than talent. It's more important that you love than you have a pretty voice to sing a solo. It's more important that you love than you learn to play the piano. This lesson is more important this morning than all your daughter's piano lessons put together. Love is more important than talent. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2, it says love is more important than knowledge. So it's more important that you teach your child to love than your child go to school and get an education. That's what the Bible, you don't believe that. You believe the Bible. If I say it, you say amen. But you don't believe that. Because you don't spend one hour a year teaching your child how to love, but you taught the child to school for 40 hours a week to learn algebra and geometry and math and English and history. My Bible says that love is more important than knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, it says love is more important than faith. And in John 15:12, we're commanded by Jesus to love. Now listen to me. There is a command from Jesus himself for you to love. In Romans 13 and verse 8, it says that love is the fulfilling of the law. If you love, you will have no gods before him. If you love, you will not make any graven image. If you love, you will not steal. If you love, you will not kill. If you love, you will not commit adultery. If you love, you will not lie. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Hey, love's pretty important, isn't it? In the Bible, in Galatians 5:22, it mentions the fruit of the Spirit. And it mentions a long list of fruit of the Spirit. And the first one mentioned is love. So that means love comes before peace. That means love comes before joy. That means love comes before long-suffering. That means love comes before gentleness. That means love comes before goodness. That means love comes before faith, and so forth. In 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. So you can't know God unless you really love. For God is love. In 1 John 3:14, the assurance of our salvation is brought by love. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Look at me and listen to me now. I'm giving you something you need. We know we passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Well, I just hate her. Oh, I'd check my salvation if I were you. Well, I can't stand him. I'd check my salvation if I were you. It didn't say we love the good brethren. We love the brethren. Didn't say we love the separated brethren. It says we love the brethren. Didn't say we love the attractive brethren. It says we love the brethren. Didn't say we love the righteous brethren. It says we love the brethren. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now then, our text this morning, John 13:35, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, because you have love one to another. Now listen carefully. What is it people are supposed to see and say he's a Christian? Oh, you said with the house, he must be a Christian. He doesn't have long hair. Or she must be a Christian. She wears skirts, not modest skirts instead of pants. Now, that's what you ought to do, but that's not the distinguishing mark of a Christian. Boy, he must be a good Christian. He doesn't drink, smoke, cuss, goes to church every Sunday. Now, all those things are good to do. You don't drink, not to smoke, not to cuss, go to church every Sunday. But the Bible says, now, hey, listen, you fundamentalists, the Bible says that by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. What is the distinguishing factor, the distinguishing characteristic of a child of God? That he loves the Christian friend. Now, there are several things I'm about love. I'm commanded to love God, Deuteronomy 10:12. I'm commanded to love my neighbor as myself in Matthew 19:19. And then in Luke 10:30, I'm told who my neighbor is. Now follow me carefully. Here is this good Samaritan. He comes down the road. He sees a man. He doesn't know him. The man has been beaten and robbed. Put your pens down and listen to me now. Look at me. He's been beaten and robbed and left half dead, alone, half dead. Now, let me tell you who this fellow was. In the first place, he was a fellow of another religion. Now, I don't love false religions, but I love everybody that belongs to one. Not only that, he was a fellow of another race. He was a man who was of a hated race. A half-breed, poor, low-class, hated race. My Bible says I'm commanded, the second greatest commandment is that I love my neighbor. What's the second greatest commandment? That first greatest, I love God. What's the second greatest? I love people. People who are poor. People who are destitute. People of other religions. People of other races. Now that's a command. Love thy neighbor. That's the second greatest commandment right under love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. In Ephesians 5:25, I'm commanded to love my wife. In Luke 6:27, I'm commanded to love my enemies, and so are you. That's a command, not a preference, not a request. It's a command. I'm to love my enemies. And then in Matthew 5:46, I'm to love those that hate me. And then in Colossians 1:4, I'm to love all Christians. Now look at me. I've given you the lofty elevation of love in the Bible. Then I've given you a list of the people that God commands you to love. Your neighbor, your wife, your enemy, those that hate you, and so forth. Now, if that be true, ladies and gentlemen, I want to obey this greatest commandment, second to loving God himself. I want to obey that commandment, to love my neighbor. Now, let me make four observations. Listen very, very carefully. I'm going to teach you something. Number one, very simple, I'm commanded to love. Number two, God never commands me to do anything I cannot will to do. I wonder how many times I've said that in these 38 years. I said, God never commands me to do anything that I cannot decide to do or will to do. I said, number one, I'm commanded to love. So are you. I said, number two, God never commands me or you to do anything that we cannot will to do. Now, wait a minute. Number three, This looks like a contradiction. Number three, I cannot just decide to love. God says, love your enemy. I can't just say, okay, I will, starting right now, this moment, love my enemy. No, I cannot decide to love. Oh, you said a while ago, you just said, God never commands you to do anything that you cannot decide to do. That's exactly right. But I said again, I cannot just decide to love. Number four, this is the most important thing I'm going to say this morning. But I can decide to do what leads to love. I cannot decide to love. Listen, don't miss it. I cannot decide to love. But I can decide to do what leads to love. Now, okay, here's the guy. We have doctors here this morning. Here's the guy. He goes to the doctor. And he comes home and he says to his wife, I've decided to get well. I'm sorry, you can't do that. Fellow's got pneumonia. He says to his wife, well, I had pneumonia a few years ago, and I suppose I said to Ms. Hiles, I've decided to get well. Now, you can't decide to get well, but you can decide to take the medicine that'll make you well. You see? Now, you can't decide to love, but you can decide to do what will make you or help you teach you to love. I cannot decide to get well. I can decide to make the medicine. The Bible tells me the medicine can make me love. Now, I'm going to give you this morning, in case there's anybody here who wants to love. In case anybody here wants to love your wife. I mean love her. I don't mean like her and get mad because she doesn't satisfy your needs. I get so sick of that. I want to throw up. Hey, she doesn't satisfy my needs anymore. You don't love her anymore than you love a toad frog. Now, you listen to me. I'm talking about real Bible, godly love. God commands me to do it. I've got to know what the medicine is that'll lead me to love. Number one, in this formula, you serve to love. You serve to love. I, Mary, take thee, John, to my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, poorer, in sickness and health, to love. But you know, Mary probably doesn't love John then. Please don't misunderstand me. You say, yeah, she's in love, but you get in love, you can get out of love. If you fall in love, you can get back up. Now, here's what the vow ought to say. I, Mary, take thee, John, to my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, to learn to love. To learn to love. My Bible says in John 21:15-17, I was talking to fellows about this morning because I couldn't wait to tell somebody. The story is told, I'm sorry, John 21:15-17, the story is told about Jesus talking to Peter. Now get this is worth hearing. Jesus asked Peter the question, lovest thou me? And he used the word agape, which is, do you really, genuinely love me? Peter says, thou knowest I'm fond of you, which is what you mean when you say I love you to your girlfriend. And prove it. You let her, that little 119-pound beauty queen, weigh 400 pounds and see what happens. I see if you don't cancel the wedding. Between the time you propose and the time the wedding takes place, you let her weigh 400 pounds and let's just see what you do. Sit still. Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, thou knowest I'm attracted to you. That's what he says. Attracted? Sure. Good night. He fed the 5,000. Who wouldn't be attracted? He raised the dead. Who wouldn't be attracted? He healed the sick. Who wouldn't be attracted? Open blind eyes. I'd like to hang around him just to see what he's going to do next. Peter said, thou knowest I like you. And Jesus said the second time, let's go back. He said first time, lovest thou me? Peter said, thou knowest I like you. I'm attracted to you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. What was Jesus telling Peter? He was giving Peter the recipe to change phileo to agape. He's saying, Peter, do you love me deeply? Peter said, I'm fond of you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. What he's saying is, if you'll feed my sheep and serve me, that phileo can be changed to agape. That's what he's saying. Now, if you want to change that attractiveness for somebody, that attraction to somebody, to a deep, godly, abiding love, serve them. I didn't say let them serve you. I said you serve them. I didn't say let them satisfy your needs. I said you satisfy their needs. Second time, Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me? Peter said, thou knowest I'm fond of you. And Jesus said three times, feed my sheep. You will only learn to love as you... Hey, illustration. A lady came to me, and she said, I don't think I love my husband. It was your wife, by the way. She said, I don't think I love my husband. And I said, you're commanded to love your husband. Well, she said, I just don't love him. I went, I don't think I do, she said. I may, if I do, it's not much. There's no such thing as having not much love. You either have it or you don't have it. I love you very much. If you love, that is very much. But anyway, he got seriously ill. He was bedridden for about 3 months. And she had to take care of him as you take care of a baby for 3 months. And during that 3-month period, she said, did you fall in love? Oh, fully on that garbage of falling in love. You don't fall in love, you serve to love. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, I like you. And Jesus said, if you'll feed my sheep, you can change that like to love. You serve. 16 months, when I came here, I did not give you myself because I wanted to go back to Texas. And after 16 months, I decided to become your pastor. I did not love you then. I decided I was going to bury your dead, marry your young, counsel with you in need, try to fulfill your needs from this pulpit, and I serve to learn to love you. Now you listen to me. A good resolution for 1998 would be for you to quit being selfish. It'd be for you to decide you're going to serve him, and then you'll love him. And I'll guarantee you this. Any woman in this room that doesn't love her husband is not serving her husband, because you serve to love. That's what Jesus said. He said, serve, Peter. Feed my sheep. You'll learn to love me and love my sheep if you'll forget yourself and forget your needs and forget your own wants and serve. You'll learn to love. Let me give you another thought. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Question came, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. This fellow beside the road. Now I'm asking, listen carefully. That Good Samaritan didn't love his neighbor before he poured the oil and wine in. Before he took him to an inn, he loved him after he had done it. Hey, here's the guy beside the road bleeding. You walk up and say, I think I love you. Here's the guy half dead. I think I love you. No, sir, it's not that way. But brother, when you've invested your time in somebody and you sacrifice for somebody, all of a sudden you find yourself loving that somebody, and the reason you don't know what love is, you know what attraction is, you know what a phileo is, you know what like is, you know what being fond of somebody is, but the reason you don't know what real love is, you've never learned to serve. You serve to love. So if you want to obey the commandment to love your wife, serve her. If you want to obey the commandment to love your husband, serve him. If you want to obey the commandment to love your neighbor, serve him. If you want to obey the commandment to love your enemy, serve him. serve him. I want to tell you a funny story. Wake up. When it's over, you can go back to sleep. But this is a funny story. I decided years ago that I was going to do good to those that hate me. The Bible tells me to. And I decided that every time somebody wrote me a nasty letter, I'd send them a Bible. And write them a nice letter, I'd sign the Bible and send them a Bible. If they're open, nasty letter, their word got out. I went broke sending Bibles all over America. But then I decided that I was going to do something anonymously. A fellow was my enemy, and my bitterest enemies I've done this for. A fellow was my enemy. I was going to send him anonymous gifts. And he wouldn't know who sent them, but I was going to get to send them to him. Well, word got out that I did this. So other people started doing it. A fellow got a bunch of anonymous gifts from a fellow who had learned from me what I did. And he said, I know who does this. Jack Hiles does this. He's probably the fellow that sent me all this stuff. I'm going to send it back to him. I didn't send him a thing. I got money. I got a set of cross pins. I know I got $300 worth of stuff. Hey, it works, folks. It works. But I'm trying to tell you, okay, I showed you a while ago a whole long list of things to show the magnitude of love, the importance of love, the position of love. Then I showed you a list of people we're supposed to love. And then I'm telling you how you can obey the command of God. You don't say, okay, preacher, I'll love in 1998. No, you don't say that. You say, I'll serve in 1998. And then you'll start loving. Second thing in the formula of how to love, first you serve to love, second you give to love. Our Lord says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How many of you want to love me? Raise your hand up high. Walk it over, brother. Listen carefully. This statement. You do not give love. You give to love. You can't say, I give you my love. You can't do it. You can say, listen to me. I'm preaching to you, fellas. Listen to me over here. I got something to tell you. You need what I'm saying. I'm saying you cannot give love. You give to love. Here's a strange thing. Very strange. Receiving from people doesn't make you love them more. Get that. I saw a cartoon. I think I told you about it. I saw a cartoon the other day. A fellow said to his wife, I don't know why he hates me. I've never given him any money. This is interesting. And it's spooky. Receiving from people doesn't make you love them more. Giving to people makes you love them more. Because you have an investment there. You heard me say this. Russell Anderson and I were flying on an airplane side by side. He was reading the stock market. The stock market looks like hieroglyphics to me. I don't know what that means. You got the foggiest idea of what it means. It looks like Chinese. Boy, he's looking at me, and Jack DaCosta checks the stock market on his telephone. When he's with me, I guarantee you, 15 minutes, he checks the stock market. You know why? He got a lot of stock. I got one share. Thanks to Ray Bordway, I own a share in Hershey's. Next time you eat a Hershey bar, don't forget who's the co-owner of that company. And it looks like you've been eating some of my merchandise a lot lately. Now, wait a minute. Russell Anderson had invested in the stock market. I had not invested in the stock market. I don't give a flip about the stock market. He loves the stock market. Why? Where your treasure is, you don't give because you love. You love because you give. case you'd like to have real love, you serve. In case you'd like to have real love, you give. Number three, you serve to love, you give to love. Number three, you obey to love. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. How do you love? Obeying. Now listen to me carefully. You know what the wives in this room this morning who love their husbands the most? The ones who obey them the most. If you don't believe it, check and see how much these Jezebels love their husbands. Just check and see. Check and see how much these bossy wives love their husbands. They love themselves. But if you, the wives in this room who love, you get that? The wives in this room, or you're listening back in choir, listen choir, wake up. The wives in this room this morning who love their husbands most are those who obey their, and the people in this room this morning who love America most are those who obey the laws of America. And the children here who love their parents most are those who obey their parents. Now, you don't obey them because you love them. You obey them to love them. You learn to love what you serve. You learn to love what you give to what you give. And you learn to love what you obey. So the wife who learns to love must learn to obey. You say, I love my husband so much I'm going to obey him. It's not that. You obey your husband so much until you love him. I'll say it again. Very few. Did you ever see a guy at the college? He sees this gal's got one tooth, weighs 425 pounds. Her eyes are very friendly because they look at each other all the time. Did you ever see a guy, here's this real sharp fellow at the college? He walks up and he says, oh, bless her heart. She needs loving. Somebody ought to love her. I'm going to take her to the dentist to get her tooth cleaned. No, sir. You see a guy sees this little 120-pound doll wiggling down the street, out of the hallway, and he says, hear me, it was love at first sight, and that is garbage. It is not love at first sight. It is love when you serve, love when you give, love when you obey. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest of these is love. Not the kind of love that is attracted, only the kind of love that serves, gives, and obeys. I realize, and I'll close with this, and then I'll close with something else. But I'll close with this. And this, of course, is not a new statement. When I stop and realize that I'm 71, I hope I can keep going here. I'm 80. I'd like to. I'd like to keep on pastoring another 10 years. But when I think about leaving, the thing that hurts me the most is not the fact that I will not be behind this pulpit again anymore. It's not the fact that I'll not be pastor of this church. The thing that grieves me the most is this. There's no way a man can come in here and become your pastor and immediately love you. And that means that a man who serves you for almost 39 years will be succeeded by a man who has not served you at all as your pastor. That thought grieves me. Do you know why I love you so much? That's exactly why. I can look at any section in this room this morning and see a couple whose marriage I've helped to salvage. I can look all over this room this morning and see men who were drunks that I've met with on a regular basis, tried to help them and to be delivered, and they've been delivered. I can see several young ladies who've given birth to children outside wedlock whom I've helped and placed the child and helped to reclaim them. I can see many people who've been ill, whom I've anointed with oil. I can see others I've counseled with about various things. I've been on the platform. I love them. You know why I've invested in them? Please don't misunderstand me. I've not made a one of them. But most of these men were boys when they met me. Most of these men were just teenagers or college students, and some were even little children when they first met Brother Hiles. I've helped to build them schools. I've helped keep those schools open so I can educate them. I've counseled with them when they're in trouble. In numbers of cases, I've held their parents' marriage together by counseling and prayer. That's why I love you. You know why you love me? Because I'm cute. No. You love me because we have faced battle after battle after battle together. You love me because you stood beside me in my darkest hours. You love me because you know I owe my ministry to you. You love me because we've shared victories, we've shared defeats. I've invested in you and you've invested in me. And I doubt very seriously if there's a love story in America between a church and a pastor and a church that compares to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. You've been commanded to love. You've been commanded to love your neighbor. That's all races. That's all religions. That's all conditions. You've been commanded to love your enemy. You've been commanded to love those that hate you. You've been commanded to love your wife. You've been commanded to love your husband. And you say, okay, I'll do it. It tells me. No, you won't. No more than you can decide to get well. I'll tell you what you can do in 1998. You can, sometime in 1998, begin to love. Not today. You won't begin to love today. But you can begin to serve today. You can begin to give today. You can begin to obey today. And as you serve, and as you give, and as you obey, all of a sudden, love follows. Why don't you make a resolution today, this new year, that you're not going to spend this year being selfish?
Well, I don't think I love him anymore.
I'd like for you to shut up. Hush. Shut your big fat mouth. Shut your blabber mouth. Shut up! What you're saying is, he doesn't give me my needs anymore. And that is as wicked as abortion. See what I said? That, you said, Brother Hiles, means for me not to have genuine love is as bad as abortion? Yes, sir. What is the first commandment? Love. What's the second commandment? Love. What's the sign of the Christian life? Is love. What's the greatest of these? Is love. How shall men know the way of disciples? We love each other. What's the fulfilling of the law? Love fulfills the law. And my Bible says love, a command of God, and you can't decide to do it, but you can decide to serve, you can decide to give, you can decide to obey, and bless God. Love is the natural result. Would you bow your heads, please?